We are live on Blog Talk Radio for Revolution Zone. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm the Impact York. We are joining you on the Wiki Deck at Impact Media. It's always fun when we get to be out here. Well, thanks to Blog Talk Radio and, of course, the people at Impact Media for allowing me to come on each and every Tuesday about this time to talk about the Texas Revolution, the unbiased best indoor team in the world. I will stick by that. Happy Tuesday to everybody, by the way. Happy Tuesday. We are 40% on the way to Friday, if you want to call it, you know, or to your weekend, in case your weekend starts then. But tons of things we want to get into a little bit later. But I see that we have our big fish on the line, so without further ado, I want to bring him on. You may recognize him lately from the ESPN hot dog eating contest just a few days ago, but he is my guest today. He is the Eagle Eye, Bill Cerna. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Jeremy, how you doing? And just so we're clear, I wasn't a contestant in there. I was just kind of on the sidelines watching the event unfold, but we had a prime seat. We were right there. We got to go right in the middle of all of it and get to meet other contestants. So it was a lot of fun.
That does seem a lot of fun. And it seems like you have the kind of luck that I do, that sometimes you can accidentally be put right on the front row of some of the coolest things.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just, you know, it just happened always on my way. And I guess I got somebody looking over me that is taking care of me. But I think even he knows that I might be kind of a big deal.
And there's a lot of people that think that way as well. And that's probably why we get along, because everywhere I go, sometimes I'm accused of acting like I'm a big deal, even when I may be not. It's good to finally have you on. I had not realized that I had not had you on yet. So, like I said earlier off the show, I will throw myself under the bus on that one.
Well, it's just glad to be here. I'm glad to be part of it. So I'm glad to finally get on. So yeah, if Sonny got on before me, there's an issue. But you know, Sonny's the one that made me a big deal, and so I got to give him the credit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we'll start there. Actually, both you guys, even though you didn't know each other there, both you guys got your start, or you came from the Arizona area. Actually, you from the Clifton, Arizona area, correct?
That's correct. I grew up in a real small mining town of Clifton, Arizona. Population at that time, it was probably around 4,000. Now it's probably about 1,500. But it's adjacent to a small town called Morenci, Arizona, and that's a well-known mining town that's right above Clifton. They actually Clifton sits in a canyon, and Morenci's right above, and it's. You know, I would just ballpark figure guess about 60% of the town works at the mine. So definitely your old style mining town. And I grew up there and until I got into high school, and then finally decided to move to the big city.
So in a way, you were kind of the diamond of the rough of that city.
Yeah, I guess I was. You know what? It was funny, because even when I left there, you know, even the mayor had a trophy made that said Clifton's Future Pro. What sport? Didn't know, but I was really popular and big with baseball at that time. But that was before my body failed me, like it does now. But at that time, it's like you know, it was a great place to grow up. you know, as one of those traditional, if you know, if you think about the olden days where you could, you know, leave in the morning, come back at night, and parents never worry about where you're at, and you can get out, you just stop by to get something to eat, and then you go right back out playing again. It was a great great place to grow up.
Oh yeah, sounds way. And it seems like the more media and sports related people that I meet, it's nothing personal to the big cities, but it seems like the more interesting people to me came from smaller towns like I did.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you're absolutely right. You know, growing up there, everybody knew each other, and even going back now, I went there about a year ago, and just to remember everything that happened, it just as a child, I think the biggest difference is that the streets are a lot closer than what I thought. You know, as a kid, you would think it's nice and wide open. You go back home, and it's like the streets have shrunk, and it's tight to get into the neighborhoods there compared to what we see now in our neighborhoods. So it's definitely fun going back, seeing family, you know, just seeing some of those memories, and then, you know, catching up with old friends from way back when.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, you were actually an athlete before you got into the sports media and coaching gig. What all sports did you play?
Well, growing up, I was mainly a baseball player. I played a lot of baseball. I played football and basketball. You know, I kind of gave up basketball through high school and focused mainly on baseball. And actually, I ran a lot of cross country. I was quite the runner in my younger years. You wouldn't be able to tell now if you saw me, but definitely quite the runner. But yeah, baseball was always my sport. Coming out of high school, you know, I did a free agent tryout with the Cincinnati Reds, Chicago Cubs, San Francisco Giants, and during the Reds tryout is actually I threw my arm out, and I just was never the same since then. And then, you know, three shoulder surgeries later, and just never could throw the ball like I used to when I was younger.
Wow, that's that's one of those unfortunate things that happens to a lot of athletes, you know, in the various worlds. But sometimes it puts you on a better path, and you end up impacting other people.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I have no regrets in my life. And, you know, now these days, you know, you have a torn rotator cuff like I had, where you can come back a lot quicker than you can in those days. You know, a torn rotator cuff back then was, you know, for a lot of players, was end of a career, where now, you know, at 9-12 months, you're back on the mound throwing again. So a little bit different than it was then. But I tell you what, I have no regrets in the way my life has gone and the blessings I've had. And being with the Revolution here was just something that fell in my lap so perfect, and I've just grown with it ever since I've been with the team. Are you there, Jeremy?
Hello?
And I think we're having technical difficulties here. I'm new on Impact Media shows. But, Bill, if you can still hear us, just kind of hang for a second. Let me try to see what's going on.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
And let's see. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Let's see if I can.
Can you hear me? Jeremy?
we have something going on here, and I'm not sure what. Let's see. Detective Bill, if you can hear me, hold on for just a few short seconds, and we will come right back after these messages.
Okay, yeah, I can hear you.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Bill, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm not sure what's going on, but we're actually getting echoes as well, and all that fun stuff. But
we know
how
it
all works
here
on Blog Talk,
I guess.
But let's see.
Let's go to how you found the quality control coach at the Texas Evolution.
Well, actually, it was 5 years ago. It was the year that T.O. was part of Alan Wrangler's, and somebody had told me that they were looking for a statistician, and because I have so much history with arena football and knowing the game inside and out, I thought this would be so much fun to do something like that. So I sent in a resume, and they interviewed me over the phone and hired me. So I became statistician of the team, and then just kind of stayed in that position. And you know, last year with the coaching staff, you know, we had coaching staff last year that wasn't used to arena football as much. So they kind of initiated me to help with the coaching, you know, take care of transactions and turning in rosters to the league and, you know, things like that. So they kind of initiated that on my part. And then during off season, we had thought, you know, let's make that into a coaching role where I could help out as much as I can on the sideline on game day with, you know, clock management and field conditions and just personnel things. And then that's where that role came in into play for me. And then hopefully we can expand on that as the seasons go, and I can, you know, learn more and more on the coaching side of it, of the Arena League. So I was a fan for so many years that I understand a lot of the rules and logistics and things like that, but being able to coach definitely takes a whole different perspective.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that was actually going to lead me to my next question, which was, what is your favorite Revolution moment so far?
I think the best Revolution moment. Wow, that's just, there's so much to think about on there. But I think it was this season's win up in Wichita. Mm-hmm. I think in all the years that I've been part of the organization, that was the time that I saw this team as fluent as they could be, both on the offensive side, defensive side. The guys had a lot of fun, and you know, they had control of that game like I've never seen, to a great quality team, obviously a team that ended up winning the championship, and you know, they beat them by 35-40 points. You know, there was a lot of exciting games, and there was some heartbreak games, but I think enjoying that one, having fun on that one, because I went into that game really concerned about, you know, Wichita really had our number. They wanted some revenge on us from the playoffs the year before. So to go in there and have full control of that was definitely a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, that was definitely a fun game to watch. I was not able to go in person, but we had quite the watch party here at the studio, and you know, anytime you can go up there and make a statement like that, that's definitely a good thing. And, you know, that just leads me into kind of your overall thoughts on this season, because I went into it, I said it a lot of times this season, I felt like this team was more talented than last season, and I really didn't think we could get much more talented than last year, but we did in all kinds of different areas. And then, you know, to have the ending we did, I felt like the team and the fans deserved a little more.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, back to that Wichita game, that was really a stepping stone for the remainder of the regular season, because we really went on a roll after that game. And there was really a great connection with this team. And to finish it the way it did, you're absolutely right. You know, we had more talent than what we could put on the field. And, you know, last year's team, we definitely overachieved. We had a lot of receivers that were new to our system. There was a carousel of receivers all year long. You know, we had a struggling with kickers last year. And then, matter of fact, we even had a game where we didn't have a kicker.
Right.
You know, we had a lot of obstacles last year. And, you know, I think the team just rallied together and was able to pull off some big wins. This year's team definitely had a lot more talent. And like I said, you had receivers that would be starting for most teams that were put on inactive on a weekly basis because there was just so much talent on this. But I think where we succeeded so well on the defensive side last year is, you know, we really struggled this year. In the middle of the season, we really started gelling, putting it together with the addition with Jericho Nelson and you know, some of these new guys. We definitely started gelling, and at the end of the year, we just really took a step back. and definitely ended up hurting us there in the playoffs.
Well, and I'm not putting any blame on any particular person or anything, but I felt like some of the wind come out of the sails about the time Frankie went down again. When he went down with the injury, yeah, we had, you know, Playmaker Webb, and we had Rico Nelson and others that stepped in and filled the void, but it just seemed like when Frankie wasn't on the field, the team wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, you know what, when he first went down, you're absolutely right. You know, we had the game where he was sick in Dodge City, and we lost Quinton Abram early in the game, that game, and so we were really struggling, and you could see it. But I think after a couple years of Frankie being down, I think the guys really rallied together, and they started gelling well. And you know, it's along the way there, you know, we were starting to pick up a lot of turnovers. We were starting to get having games where we were having four or five interceptions. We were really doing well there, and then just towards the end of the season, it's like there was just a lot. It just seemed like we were back to when Frankie first went down. There was just a lot of miscommunication, and a lot of missed assignments, and a lot of missed tackles. So you're right. When Frankie first went down, it was definitely a struggle, and we saw it there on the defensive side. And then we had to really, Coach Victor had to really find that gel that was going to work for on the defensive side until Frankie got back.
Absolutely. And, of course, we are on with the pride of Peoria High School in Arizona, the Eagle Eye, Bill Cerna. And before we get back into some team stuff, how did you get the nickname Eagle Eye?
You know what? Sonny gave that to me. You know, we during high school football season, we do the Rowlett Eagles football team, and I have always been known to be able to catch the little things that might be missed. I started with us working with the Revolution together, and then when I got up to the Rowlett High School and started watching the high school sports, I was able to catch a lot before. It was noticed, flags being down, what the flag was for, who was for. And, he kind of just attached that to me, and it kind of stuck. But, we used to have little contests on how accurate I was on who it was and where it was. And I kind of helped him be able to make that call before the call was even announced on the field. So he just gave it to me, and it stuck. And it worked. It kind of blended it real well with us being the Eagles from Rowlett.
Oh, it is. It is definitely not easy to call even high school games. There is a guy locally that does the PA work for a local high school that sometimes I'll help spot for him. You can't see everything when you're one person, so it helps when you can get another set of eyes on somebody.
You're absolutely right. And you know what? I had never been on radio before until Sonny. So trying to learn how to be able to talk on the radio and feel comfortable, plus watch the game. You know, as for so many years, I was such a fan that I was always dissecting the field. You know, I was a season ticket holder for the Arizona Rattlers for 15 years. And I remember there was one game, there was a misplay, and Danny White was coach of the Arizona Rattlers at that time. He was a coach for them for quite a while. And there was a play that happened, and all I remember was somebody misses an assignment, and if I remember right, I think it was Cecil Doggett for the Arizona Riders. He had missed an assignment, and I remember Danny White just coming down the field, just screaming at Cecil. And I told Danny, I said, and I sit in the second row. I told Danny, I said, Danny, there's a flag over there. It's a holding. There's going to be holding, so you're okay. And sure enough, there's a holding, and he turned around and said, oh, thanks, man. So I follow the play, but I follow the field. And, you know, when you have the arena of football where it's half the size of a regular football field, it's a little bit more easier to catch everything that's going on than it is on a high school football field or just even a regular football field. But even my buddies, we'll watch Sunday football, and I'll catch something. Oh, there's a hole. Here comes a flag. You know, even my buddy would sit there and say, man, how did you catch that? So I don't know. It just – you know, we all have a talent, and mine wasn't eating hot dogs. It was catching things on the field.
Exactly. That's it's probably a lot healthier in the long run.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But, yeah, I can definitely attest to that because I have one of my best friends in the world who does some work here on the show. John Watts is his name. Back when he went to Georgia Tech, I would go hang out up there, and we'd be watching a football game, and a flag would get thrown. I would go, oh, there's a flag. And he would go, it's either holding or it's this. And I'm like, how do you know? He goes, well, based off where the flag is thrown, it narrows it down to three or four different ones. So at that point, you just figure out if it was A or B. And I went, oh, so the more football I watch, I can kind of pick up on things like that. You see a flag thrown, you're like, it's going to be holding on the left tackle and it's going to come back. People are like,
yeah.
How do you know that? And I'm like, look where the flag is.
You're absolutely right. And not only where the flag is, but who is throwing it. If you have one of these side judges throwing it, then you know it's either going to be an offsides or it's going to be a false start. Or if it's a back judge, it's usually going to be an illegal defense. So you're absolutely right. It's where it lands, where he throws the flag, and who throws it. So you're absolutely right. A lot of times you're going to narrow it down to who it is, and then you'll be able to, you know, just based on the play, you know, if there's a holding on, you know, on the offensive line, if there's a big hole, then, you know, there's a good chance there was a holding along there.
Exactly. And you actually have a lot of management experience in your history and career in and out of the indoor football world. How do you take your management experience and the stuff you've learned along the way and apply that to the indoor environment?
Well, and you know what, and I've been a manager since I was 18 years old. I was a manager of a restaurant back in Arizona, and then went into resort business. Now I'm into multifamily real estate. And you know what, I've always been a leader. I've always taken a leadership role, and because that's just how my career has gone. So, you know, going into the football, you know, I was kind of a fish out of water in the beginning because, you know, you got these big, strong athletes, these guys that you know, they walk at their own beat. Well, my management style has always been a motivator. In my business career, with my children, and now into arena football is, and you know, using that motivational abilities has really gone well with the team. You know, I'm there not to jump on them and get down and be an iron fist. They have their position coaches that do that. I'm more of a, hey, give them that motivation and say, you're all right, you're okay, you'll be fine. You know, I do that in my business style. You know, I read this book a while back called Well Done, and it was focused on reinforcement by motivation and by positive reinforcement instead of so much of an iron fist. And my management skills, I've been successful in my business career because of that. And I feel like it's helped with the team give them the motivation they need and the positive reinforcement to be successful. So, you know, I'm still learning the arena football side of it, but I feel with my management skills, it definitely helps me with some of these young guys.
Absolutely. And I'm going to get into some fan questions because I actually received quite a bit when they found out you were going to be on. So you have quite a few fans.
Either that or
it's one that asked a bunch of questions. I'm not quite sure. But.
Well, yeah, I'll check with Sonny.
Yeah. He's currently on a train, he told me. So we'll have to wait till he's off the train to ask him, I guess. Let's see. First fan question, they want to know, where did you get your love for indoor football?
You know what? It was the first year of the Arizona Rattlers, and I was with my mother and my sister and a couple other friends, and we had gone down to a Mexican restaurant in downtown Phoenix, and if you're from that area, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We went down there, you know, my whole family is big sports. My mother knows more about baseball than most baseball fans. She was a season ticket holder for the Arizona Diamondbacks for 20 years since she was actually first year season ticket holder. So we were down there and we went to dinner and we said, you know, let's go do something. They said, well, there's this indoor football thing. There's no out of bounds. Let's go over there and get tickets and we'll go watch it. And it was like the second game of the Arizona Rattlers. And We went there and watched it, and I'm telling you, I was hooked right there and then. And I think I was hooked more not just because of the sport, because of the entertainment. The Arizona Rattlers, first few years that they played, they had this a buffalo, and it was actually a real buffalo, and his name was Harvey Wallbanger. And every time the Rattlers would score a touchdown, this guy would ride out Harvey Wallbanger out on the field holding a Rattler fan or a Rattler flag. And I tell you what, it was the funniest thing to watch these players jump off the field into the stands because of this buffalo running across the field. And it was just that type of entertainment that you don't see at any of these other professional sports. And to have the music and to have the fireworks and things, it just caught me. So, you know, right there and then I got tickets for the rest of the season, and then I became a season ticket holder for there until I moved to the Texas area.
Wow. I do agree. That's part of what got me into watching the indoor game. It was part another guy who co-hosts one of my other NFL shows, who at the time was working with the Texas Revolution, told me to keep an eye on the team. They were doing some really cool stuff. But, yeah, I agree. The difference between indoor and the normal outdoor football on any level is the entertainment value, because you do kind of get – I don't want to use the term circus, but you do get more of a spectacle, more of a – like you said – the fireworks or somebody riding an animal, and it's not just during halftime. You get this kind of more of a backyard feel to it, where everybody feels like they're involved and not, you know, you're sitting in section 340 where the birds are flying lower than you are.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, you have a lot of on the field stuff. You have a lot of kid stuff, a lot of, you know, when you go to a minor league baseball team, you see a lot of this stuff. But these are mm-hmm. professionals, and to top it off, I mean, you got some talented athletic guys out there too, and to be playing on such a small field, but they make it very interactive, you know. And you know, you get to talk to the players, and you know, at the AFL, you weren't able to go on the field like you are here in the CIF or
right.
the IFL. You weren't able to go on the field, but they would come and talk to you and sign autographs and whatnot, and you know, at the They're more human than they are with some of these professionals, where you don't, you know, after an NBA ball game, they're gone. They're off the court, and you don't see them anymore, and then you just leave. Here, you know, you want to stay after the game. You want to be able to chat with them and get to know them. And, you know, I did that with the Rattlers, and you know, I had some great friends that I've met there that are lifelong friends now, and, you know, was able to get some insight in the league. You know, I got to go to five Arena Bowls with the Rattlers and enjoy them on the road and there in Phoenix. So, and like I said, you know, I met many of the players and got to know them, and same with different fans. So it's very interactive and it's very, very close knit.
See, there you go. That's kind of what I was thinking, the interactiveness, because even some of my favorite concert venues over the years are not the big open amphitheaters or the big arenas. It's the small venues where maybe there's 500 people there, but it's such a close-knit thing. It feels like you're, you know, in your garage listening to your favorite band, or in this case, watching your favorite team play.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, especially in these smaller arenas that we play in here in the CIF, it definitely – a who's who. You know, we had a game earlier this year in Mesquite, and Deion Sanders was standing right behind
mm-hmm.
us there in the stands watching the game, you know, talking to some of the players. It was really neat to be able to do that. But, you know, to have a league where the commissioner of the league is so accessible and to be able to talk to and owners of groups and players and cheerleaders and everything else. It's such a neat environment to be part of. And as a fan, it makes you feel special because these players want to meet you. They want to take pictures with you. So, you know, you don't have to be a football fan to enjoy this. And I've gotten many friends that have never been to games, tickets to come to games, and they get hooked and they enjoy
mm-hmm.
it.
Oh, I've had some friends that recently moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I told them, I said, let me know. You need to go check out the Texas Revolution. And a couple of them have been able to do that. And, I mean, I could probably give them a better hookup if they wanted. But, I mean, ticket prices are reasonable already. But They say the same thing. They walk in and they said, you didn't tell me how fun this was, how this is, it's unreal that even after the game, like you said, you can go down and talk to anybody because they're all standing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Kids can run on the field and play. I mean, think of it. Can you go to AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play and get on the field after? Heck no. It's like a bucket list thing if you can go walk the field there at AT&T Stadium. But you go into these arenas and, yeah, you go walk on the field. You throw a ball around as people are gathering. So it's definitely a lot of fun, a lot of interaction, and a lot of free goodies that you get. I mean, you walk out of there with a goodie bag, you know, free pizzas and free tacos and mm-hmm. free everything. So no, you're absolutely right.
Oh, especially the way Dylan was kicking this year. He was responsible for a lot of people eating some free pizza.
Yeah, I know. He's in his personal time. He's a trainer, and I told him, I said, man, you're gonna have to be my trainer because you're making me eat all these pizzas. So you're absolutely right. He was busy this year with this offense on this team. It definitely kept him busy.
Oh yeah, definitely. And of course, like I said, we're on with the Eagle Eye Bill Cerna. He is a worldwide known celebrity. From your numerous trips to Europe, where you're recognized and people, understand your greatness, all the way to Coney Island, as we mentioned a little bit before. But that's got to be cool. I mean, how did that kind of transpire a little bit? You guys are just kind of hanging out, and then you find a place right there in the front,
well,
or did they pick you out of the crowd and say, "Hey, you're the Eagle Eye. You got to be in front."
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, there's about 30 to 40,000 people that go to this, and it's not like it's in a big arena. It's actually in a
right.
walkway on the way to Coney Island to the pier, and it's right there, right next to the Nathan's hot dog restaurant there, which is, first of all, it's the coolest thing just to go see that. But they block off the streets, they pack the streets, it's right next to his train station. So my plan was, I wanted to get there early because I knew there's gonna be a crowd, because this contest gets bigger and bigger every year. And
mm-hmm.
So we got there early, about almost 3 hours early before the contest, so we could at least get somewhere where we could see good. Well, when we got there, we walked up to, towards the front there, and it had barricaded, so you can only go so far. And then this guy turned around and he goes, "Bear down." I had my University of Arizona shirt on. That's
mm-hmm.
our cry and at the U of A is "Bear down." And so I asked him, I said, are you from Arizona? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, I went to the U of A, graduated in 91 or 2001. And so we start talking. I said, well, hey, is there anything you can do? And he goes, well, let me see if I can get you the Wildcat special. Well, he didn't have any credentials left, but he says, well, let me get you and your kids back here, and you can at least get in here so you can be with – because what they do is they put a stage group of fans up front for ESPN.
Right.
And, he said, let me get you up there. Well, when we got up there, there was a lieutenant from the New York Police Department, and he had told him, he said, hey, see what you can do for these guys. And he actually moved us over to the backstage where the contestants come out and said, you guys stay here, and you're going to meet every one of them. You're going to, ESPN's going to be here, and you're going to be on camera and blah, blah, blah. And we stayed there. We got free hot dogs, which I tried to qualify. I only got four down before I had to stop. But my daughter got two. So, and if you ever had Nathan's hot dogs, I mean, those things are addicting anyways. Yeah, we stayed right there, met everybody. My daughter got her picture with Joey Chestnut 10 minutes after it was all over. And, she got her picture with Matt Stoney and even George, the MC. And just about everybody she was able to get pictures with. It was a lot of fun. And, she knew nothing about all this stuff, only being 9 years old. But I tell you what, by the end of the day, all she kept talking about was Joey Chestnut. So, we had a great time. And then after that, we went and walked the pier and walked Coney Island and, saw all the rides. So it was definitely a great experience to be able to do something and then just be able to get where we got. I chalk it up to somebody knowing who I was. But, the truth was I kind of just got the lucky draw and was able to get where I was.
Hey, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily how you get there; it's the fact that you got there.
You're absolutely right, and then you know, I was just excited just to be able to see somebody eat 70 hot dogs, but to get where we got and to meet who we got to meet and enjoy ourselves and you know, I got all the little freebies and everything else was a treat above and beyond. So it was a great experience. You know, I took my kids to New York for the 4th of July, and that was one of the highlights, kind of a bucket list thing for me. And you know, we made the best of it.
And just so our audience knows, and you as well, eBay has a handful of Joey Chestnut posters in case your daughter wanted to put one somewhere in her room.
Oh, really?
Like they're going from – some of them are signed, actually, and I'm surprised they're under $20 because, I mean, this guy's kind of become a cult hero here. He took out Kobayashi a few years ago, and he really hasn't relinquished the crown since.
Yeah, he was upset last year by Matt Stoney. Stoney, you know, he was a newcomer and a young kid, and I think you know, Joey had won so much. I don't know if he just wasn't prepared, but I tell you what, this year he came out with a vengeance. He did not want to talk to people before, you know, he wasn't mingling before. He was out to really prove a point, and I mean, he won by 17 hot dogs.
Wow.
I can't even eat 17 hot dogs, and he won by that margin. So you're absolutely right. You just let me know, gave me a great idea of something I can get for my daughter, because I guarantee you she'll love it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm sure there's other places besides eBay, but it happened to be the link the producer sent my way. So I saw that for under $20, you can a lot of times get a signed 8x10 with them. So, I mean.
Well, that's great. Well,
I don't know what
right,
needs
what
the – go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I could probably print out her picture and attach it to it with him. So
there you go.
I think, you know, the most little girls, they like My Little Pony, Monster High, and, you know, at Little's Pet Shop. But I think my daughter's gotten into hot dog eating contest participants.
Hey, you never know. It's a niche market, and there's a good chance you'll get to meet a lot more of the stars than most other places.
Yeah, that's right. The female winner ate 40 hot dogs.
Yeah.
So, you know, she got to watch that and enjoy that too. So.
Yeah. What was the winning number that Chestnut had? Was it 70?
Yeah, he ended up with 70, which broke his own record for that contest, which was 69. So he won or he broke the record for that contest, but. In his qualifying 2 weeks before, he broke the world record and had 73 hot dogs.
Wow. So he ate as many hot dogs in one sitting, in one contest, as the Warriors had wins in basketball this year.
Yeah, yeah. And it took the Warriors 6 months to do it. He did it in 10 minutes.
Wow. That's I don't know that – I don't know the official count, but I don't know that I've eaten that many hot dogs in the last 2 years.
Well, I can't say the same for me. Because I love my hot dogs. And matter of fact, like I said, I had four that day. And the day before, I had had four hot dogs at a little restaurant in New Jersey. And if you watch Dives, Drive-Ins, and Diners, it's a little restaurant called Rutt's Hut. And they are known for having their deep-fried hot dogs. And these deep-fried hot dogs, they call them the Ripper, because what they do is they deep-fry them up until the point before they rip, and then they pull them out. And like I said, I had four of those, and those things are unbelievable. They have this homemade relish, this cheese sauce that goes with it, and they're crispy, and you got to try it if you ever go to New Jersey. But it's called Rutt's Hut, and I'm telling you right now, Jeremy, you're making me hungry as we talk.
I was about to say, usually when I on a show night, I don't eat till after the show, and I am currently starving. And apparently the rest of the crew in the room has already eaten because they're laughing at me right now. But, yeah, we're going to have to order a pizza maybe mid-show now or something.
Cause there you go.
But well, you actually do a lot of stuff with your kids, because I see a lot of the photos on social media and everything. And for one, I applaud the efforts, because I know so many people who either don't get the opportunity or just choose not to. But – you know, what does it mean to be able to travel and do a lot of these things with your kids?
You know what? It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I am a full-time parent of my daughter. And so she spends a lot of time with me. And I cherish every moment. You know, I have a 27-year-old son that I didn't have full-time. And you know, him and I have a great relationship. We had one growing up, but I just, you know, I'm definitely taking advantage of it this time because I know how fast they grow up, and you know, I enjoy the times. And I tell you what, I've seen every children's movie that's come out in the last 2 years. I know anything about My Little Pony and Monster High. So I've definitely got my little girl history all caught up hanging out with my little one, but it's a dream come true, and being able to do this vacation with her was great, and spending the time with both of my kids, but I'm looking forward to many more here in the future.
I just got one other question before we get back into football and some of the other fan questions, then I'll let you on with your night, because yeah. I know you're as busy as I am. We all have other stuff going on as well. You had a picture of the restaurant Wahlburgers. Did you get a chance to go in there and check that out?
You know what? I didn't. And funny thing you mentioned that. That's actually right next to where they had the hot dog eating contest.
Wow.
It's right there next to it. Once it was all over and everything cleared out, we stayed for probably about half an hour, 45 minutes after the contest was over. That way we could get a chance to talk to some of the participants and get pictures and whatnot. And it cleared out pretty well. But we went over that Wahlburgers because I was, you know, we were hungry for something other than hot dogs. But the line was just crazy long to get in there. So we just bypassed it, but I thought I got to at least get a picture of it before I do leave. But I'm telling you, it's 50 feet from where the stage was, so it's right there next to it.
Yeah, because I am all about the Wahlberg family. I grew up a Mark Wahlberg fan. I was actually a Marky Mark fan. I'm not afraid to admit that. I've grown to like Donnie Wahlberg's acting, and now the one that's making food. I mean, in fact, I just watched The Kill Point, which if nobody's ever seen The Kill Point, it's only 8 episodes of it was a Spike TV original. It has John Leguizamo. It has a bunch of other people you'll know from other shows that you probably watch now, but definitely go check out The Kill Point. It's about a bank robbery gone wrong. Probably some of the best work by Donnie Wahlberg, and probably how he got half the gigs he does now, but I got to make it to a Wahlburger sometime. They keep saying there's one near me in Atlanta and other places I've traveled, they keep saying, so I'm going to have to go check this place out.
Yeah, I saw that they're starting to build them in the South. I saw that there's one in Florida, too. So, yeah, you definitely got to check it out. We don't have anything like that here in Texas, but that's okay. I got my In-N-Out burger out here.
Exactly. That's the good thing about the South is we have these restaurants where we're going to eat.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see. But we're going to get back into football because that is not only what the show is about, but also what the fan text line is asking me to get back to. So I do my best to make sure that these shows are, you know, what the fans want to hear. I'm actually going to get into some fan questions again, if I can
Sure. Cue
them up. Let's see. This question, they want to know, apparently they're Rattler fans as well. They want to know, what made the Arizona Rattlers the best team in the 90s?
Oh, well, first of all, I mean, you know, when you have somebody like Danny White running the team, you know, at that time, the Arena League was still kind of new. It was only like in their fifth or sixth year. There wasn't any really big names in arena football. And, you know, at the Rattlers, when they had their expansion, that first thing they did was they hired Danny White, and, you know, having that name aligned with your organization was huge. It definitely brought in some great players, but, you know, he built a really great nucleus real quick with that team. You know, and he started you know, in 92 he started with a lot of local players. They had a Paul Justin from ASU that was their quarterback, and Luis Andejas was their kicker, but then they really went out and got some great talent, you know, obviously with Cedric Bonner and Hunky Cooper, Randy Gatewood, who now all are in the AFL Hall of Fame. They did a really good job at building this team for success. And, you know, they went almost 20 years without missing a playoff. They were in it just about every year. And, you know, when you have that nucleus, it was definitely a huge plus. And there's been a lot of players that have started their careers in Arizona. You know, Aaron Garcia, which is, I think, the all-time leading passer for the AFL in history, started there. You have Bob McMillan, which is now one of the better coaches in the league, start there as a fullback. So a lot of big names. Cedric Walker, which was an assistant coach at San Jose, was there. So, you know, they really had a great nucleus there. And matter of fact, I think in 1994, they took all professional organizations, including the NBA, NHL, NFL, and the Arizona Rattlers were rated the number one organization based on marketing, fan base. Now, when I say fan base, based on in their league, profitability, they were rated the number one team of any, I mean, above the New York Yankees. So they Wow. really did a good job at setting a standard there. And a lot of teams that came into the AFL, they focused how they grew their organization based on how the Rattlers do theirs.
Hey, they were smart enough to realize they were doing it right and they were doing well in doing it right. So, you know, you can base it off whatever you want to, but you try to find a winning organization if you're going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? This team was built by Jerry Colangelo from the Phoenix Suns, and his son, Brian Colangelo, was actually the president of the team. And they come from success, and they know how to build. And they did a great job, and they put a great market on the field. And, you know, I remember first few years, they were getting, you know, 14,000, 15,000 people at an arena football game. I remember that they fill up the Upper Bowl. And they still do great. I think they're still getting 10,000, 11,000 people at their games.
I think so. I don't have the official numbers in front of me, but they are still drawing better than, you know, some teams in higher levels.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, I'm sitting here watching a replay of the Rattlers Jacksonville game from this last weekend. I try to record as many games as I can, just because I'm kind of a nerd in that way. But shoot, I have like in VHS, yes, VHS, I have probably about 140 Rattler games for over the years. I used to record
Wow.
every game. So, I definitely kept track of everything with the Rattlers.
Hey, I can't say much. I still hold on to a lot of VHS tapes that I have where I recorded everything from, WWF pay-per-views to random football games and all kinds of stuff. And I bog up the DVRs at my parents' house and my in-laws' house, as well as my own, with all kinds of random things. So, in fact, a lot of times, my dad will go, "What's all this on the DVR?" And I, you know what? Don't delete it. I'll watch it later.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what's funny is I actually have old VHS tapes of Kurt Warner when he was with Iowa. I have a lot of games.
Barnstormers,
not,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Not even against the Rattlers, but I would record games with him in them because, when they were in the playoffs, I remember there was a game they were playing the St. Louis Stampede in a playoff game and with Kurt Warner. And I we always talk about the worst football injury you've ever seen. There was a play in that game where I don't remember who the running back was for St. Louis. He was tackled from behind and broke both ankles. One of them was a compound fracture, and it was just a horrific injury. But, every once in a while I'll go back and watch that just so I can show people that injury.
Yeah, I remember seeing the tape on that one because I've seen a video portion of that game, and somebody pointed out that injury. It reminded me of the NCAA tournament a couple years ago, the Kentucky
yes.
kid.
Louisville.
That actually transferred to Georgia State and played his senior season not far from our Atlanta studios, our Impact Media studio in Atlanta. So it was kind of fun watching him in his senior year.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
That kid can still play, and he wants to be more than, you know, the guy with a horrific injury. And if you look at what he did in this past season, I think he's more than the injury kid.
Well, and it's just amazing that these kids can come back from injuries like that. Now, I mean, you look at Joe Theismann, his injury, he was never able to do it again back then. But I'll give you a perfect example is a Randall, the quarterback for Duke City this year. And when we were playing them, he got injured, and that was a compound fracture, just a horrible injury. And for him, 6 months later, or not even 6 months later, maybe about 3 to 4 months later, get drafted by the Arena Football League in China, and he's ready to play again. So it's just amazing how well medicine and rehabilitations come these days to have these kids ready to play so quickly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, like we are on with the eagle-eyed Bill Cerna, the quality control coach for the Texas Revolution, but he's always a lot more than just the title he's given. You know, it's been great having you on and finally getting to talk to you. I think the only time that we've actually talked across the phone line, we haven't done it yet in person. We'll have to do that here soon. But I think we've been on Sunday's show together a handful of times, especially doing some of the prep work going into the season.
Yeah. I remember we had that round table that we did before the season started, which was a lot of fun because definitely was able to get some insight from all three of us. So it's always fun with Sonny and I look forward to our Rowlett season here this year I think we'll be in our fourth season together calling games for Rowlett. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's been a lot of change with high school football out here in Dallas or in Texas actually.
Oh yeah, and you guys do one of the more amazing coverages, and I always enjoy anything you guys do, especially media-wise. Speaking of Sonny, I was going to get to this anyway. He's finally leaving the booth. And not finally as in, you know, finally it's happening. But, you know, he's decided to pack up the cannonballs and shoot his cannon elsewhere, I guess, in what sounds a lot weirder now that I said it than it did in my head. But, you know, what's he meant to this Revolution team in the booth like this? And what in the world are they going to do now that he's not there?
You know what? That's a good question. I'm not sure what's going to happen and what route they're going to go, but only time will tell. I think, he was just ready to try something different and try a new organization and see how well it goes doing that. But, it's going to be a big change for me because, you know, me and Sonny with the Revolution, we always fed off of each other and had fun doing it. So it's definitely going to be a big change. I've seen him there next to me next year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The fact that he can always throw it to you for either the answer or a better understanding of something and you feeding off of him and definitely a dynamic duo, even though I think it's more like two Batmans than a Batman and Robin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been fun. We've been a good sidekick, and we kind of feed off each other and have fun. And I'm glad we get to continue that on with high school football. But you know, you never know who will be replaced by with the Revolution. But hopefully, they'll understand that I am who I am, and I come with experience and some insight. So hopefully, they can feed off of that.
Oh yeah, I half joke with John Navarez all the time, and it's half joke, half real that I would, but I wouldn't want to be him sometimes. And when it comes to replacing some of the personnel, and especially Sonny or even some of the other guys on the team, that's when I don't really want to be John Navarez because it's got to be tough to try to go, well, what direction would we go from here?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I tell you what, he's got a tough job, but you know, one thing with John, you know, he knows people. He knows good talent when he sees it. And then I tell you what, you look at the product that we had on the field. He definitely knows his stuff. So, but it's not an easy job. It really isn't for what he does. But I tell you what, he makes the best of it. And a lot of our success comes from the work that he's done.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of waiting to see what they do from here on out. But, you know, speaking of Sonny and John Tavares, I'm not sure if Sonny's listening in. I know he will later on. He'll probably listen to the archive version, but John Tavares always likes to listen to us most of the time live. Do you have a good John or Sonny story that you can tell on live radio?
Oh, geez.
Without incriminating anybody, because I don't know about statute of limitations or depending on what state you were in. And
I can think of one that we had this year with John. John and I were in Duke City, and it was getting a little ruckus there, and you know the fans were right above us there, and John's so calm and collective, and there was a controversial call, and we, you know, at the we were getting upset with the officials on the field, and I look behind me, and John is actually joined with a fan there, and the fan's saying something to him, and I don't know what John's saying, and I walk up, I say, John, are you okay? And the guy looked down at me and says, "What do you want?" And I said, "Who are you?" I said, "What is your problem?" And he goes, "Your face." I couldn't say anything after that. I didn't know what to say. But I pulled John away from there, and John kind of laughed it off. And one thing about the Texas Revolution is they have a swagger, and mm-hmm. They know how to back it up. But I tell you what, I always tell people we're like the New York Yankees of our league. You know, people either love us or they hate us. And when we go
right.
on the road. We definitely ruffle some feathers because we walk and we talk with that swagger. So we definitely come across some very vocal fans, and you know it makes it fun. It really does. But to see John actually talking to somebody was a shock. So I knew okay something serious must have gone on. But I tell you what, he took it in stride went away from it, and you know it didn't let us affect the game, but it was all about fun. But I left that game. First thing I went and did was look in the mirror and say, okay, what's wrong with my face? So
yeah, exactly. Somebody says something like that, and when you don't really have a reply, it's not that you couldn't come up with a clever thing to say. It you kind of want to check and make sure that if you want to agree with them or disagree with them before you reply.
Yeah, exactly.
Because,
so I didn't,
you know, maybe your mascara's running that day or something like that, and it's like, oh, I appreciate you telling me. I was able to fix it. We're fine now.
Yeah. Well, and if you ask anybody that knows me, I'm very quick-witted and with comeback answers. And for me to be stumped is actually more surprising than anything else, because usually when somebody says something to me, I usually have a good answer to come back with it, whether it's a smart-ass answer or a serious answer. I can always bring an answer. So for this fan to catch me off guard like that was got to give him kudos for doing that.
Let's see. I tried to put myself in the scenario. Somebody, let's see. If I say that and they said your face, I'd probably come back with it's genetics. I can't do nothing about that. Or I'd probably say something. I'm usually pretty quick-witted, too, which is probably – I don't know if that's good or bad for when Sonny has us both on the same show, but I guess we'll just have to deal with the live mics of a radio.
Well, same with me. This morning I went to – every morning I stopped by McDonald's and get me a drink and a sandwich on the way to work. And this morning we took a little bit of extra time, and the lady, as I pulled up, lady said, "I'm sorry about your weight." And I said – I am too. I'm trying to diet, but thank you.
See, I could have piggybacked even more if I'd have been the worker there, because I'd have been like, well, first of all, maybe you shouldn't eat here.
Yeah. Would you like to switch that to a parfait?
Yeah. Would you rather have a yogurt wrap? I can get one
yeah.
for you. But as we finish up here with the Eagle Eye Bill Cerna. And we apologize to everybody on that, whatever the technical glitch was before, where, I don't know, suddenly every pair of headphones in the entire studio went out at the same time. So me being as quick thinking as I did, we swapped to a different way, and we seem to be doing good. But you got to learn to roll the punches in media because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, and I tell you what, working with Sonny with the high school football, Sonny always gets there way early. He's always ready to go. He's always an hour in or hour before we go on. He's like, it's perfect. We got everything ready. Everything's great. You sound great on the mic. I can hear the fans. Every game, when we go live, something happens. And there's technical difficulties. And poor Sonny, you know, he just wants all that hard work and that preparation to pay off, and it always bites him in the rear end when we go on live.
Oh, yeah. When I during the fall, when I cover Georgia State Panthers football, I get there 3 hours early, and it seems like everything goes good until about 20 minutes before kickoff, and then either somebody else's electronics, because I don't do a live broadcast there. But just in covering it, there's always something crazy that happens on Media Row that somebody starts panicking out and the rest of us jump on it, and we're like trying to solve the Neo Matrix here or something like that. We're trying to figure it out, and words and numbers are going everywhere on a computer. I think it's just part of what happens when not to toot our own horn, but when you're one of the better media people, we always have crazy things happen. So, like I said, I wouldn't think it was a normal show unless something crazy happened.
Well, and that's just it. Who wants it boring? You know, you need something to happen so that way there's some excitement there. Who wants it to go perfect every time? I mean, you got to
exactly.
Have some fun
we're,
with it.
We're here to entertain as well as inform. And if anything, my entertainment is, I try to 70% entertain, 30% inform you what's going on. So
exactly. Well, and you know that's just it with me and Sonny. You know what? I entertain Sonny, and Sonny definitely entertains me.
Oh, you guys are definitely entertaining. That's why I listen to a lot of stuff you guys do, even away from the Revolution. You guys are definitely entertaining. But as we finish up here, a couple more fan questions, and then I will let you on with your day, because we're both starving to death at this point. And, I can't let us wither. I can't let us both wither away. We got plenty of stuff to do. But let's see. Let's go with actually, Sonny sent this one in. He wants me to ask you about Pringles Stadium.
Pringles Stadium?
Also known as Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Oh, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. That is the original home of the Phoenix Suns. And Sonny was a huge Arizona or Phoenix Roadrunners hockey fan.
Yeah.
And he used to love going there. He always talks about that arena. And it's kind of like the Texas State Fair here, where you have the Cotton Bowl surrounding or the fair surrounding the Cotton Bowl. The Arizona State Fair is surrounded by Veterans Memorial Coliseum there in the Phoenix area. And it only held like 10,000 people. And that's where the Phoenix Suns were until 1992, until they moved into their new arena. It was such a fun crowd, fun place. I saw many a concerts there. I saw Journey when I was 13 there. It was just a fun place. I saw David Lee Roth. I saw I saw Clint Black and Alan Jackson there. So
wow.
Quite a variety of music there, but Sonny always talks about veterans. He loved that Coliseum.
Oh yeah, and I always forget that that Sonny's a big at least minor league hockey fan. And I used to do a hockey show a couple years ago before I started back doing football, and we ended up covering a lot of minor league. It happened to be the year of the strike, so I mean we had to do something. So we followed a local college team, and we followed a couple of the minor league teams, and it's just hockey's a fun sport to me, and I wish it was more over in the Atlanta area, but that's an entire probably week's worth of shows that I could do about that whole thing. But hockey's just a fun sport, and I encourage anybody, even on a smaller level, if you can go watch 5-year-olds play, go watch it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we share the arena with the Allen Americans, which is one the championship 4 years in a row now. And I had an opportunity to go watch a game this year during the playoffs. And you're absolutely right. It's just so much more fun. You know, it's more, you're more on top of the sport. you know, obviously you do have the professional teams but to have it, you know, on a minor league arena, it's just so much more entertaining because you can hear the players, you can hear that the puck flying across the ice. It's definitely a whole different atmosphere. But if you ever get a chance to go to a minor league game, you know, I know they don't get the publicity as you do as the pros, but you minor league hockey, minor league, you know, basketball. If you're close to a D league game, arena football, you know, definitely got to give it an opportunity because it's very fan friendly, and you never know who you're going to run into.
Exactly. I always encourage people to go to even minor league baseball or college level or even high school or kid level of almost any sport. It's just different kind of game based off the age of the participants. But there's just so much entertainment value, and it's just sometimes to take the business out of it and just watch the game.
You're absolutely right. And it's inexpensive wherever you go. You know what? I had a fun ride with my University of Arizona baseball team in the College World Series, and we were just that close. But I tell you what, it was so entertaining to watch. So I would have taken anything to have been able to go up to Omaha and watch them. But you definitely got to, you know, participate in the amateur sports and the minor leagues because they work just as hard. And, you know, a lot of times it's for the love of the sport. So I definitely that's one thing I enjoy about doing high school football is these kids – love the sport. They love, you know, they're not there for the money and they're not there for the endorsements and whatnot. They're there to enjoy the sport, enjoy the experience, and to be involved with high school football here in Texas and the playoffs. It's definitely a whole different fun atmosphere.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The Bryce Harpers and the Jonathan Taves and the Mike Madonnas of the world that just always had a smile on their face and just – you could tell they just enjoyed playing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, even in the Arena League, I mentioned earlier, Kurt Warner, you know, playing in the Arena League, he was so approachable, and I think that carried on with him to the NFL because, you know, he recognized his humble start and he really was – made himself – available to people, and he was humble, and I think that's why he was such a fan favorite both in St. Louis and in Arizona, because you know, he appreciated what he was able to do, and he appreciated the people that would acknowledge him and support him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Kurt Warner has always been one of my favorite players, especially once you learn his journey, but even then he's just a good guy who finally gets a break, and he made the most of it. And, you know, the sky's the limit. I look forward to – he's on my short list of media guys I'd like to meet. He's at the top, towards the top of it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I'm sure one day you will. He's a great guy, and like I said, he definitely earned everything that he got. He never took it for granted either.
Absolutely. We got two more fan questions. One's kind of serious, and we actually this could be a first in Impact Media history, at least lately. We actually at least have the initials and location of the people who sent it to us. For some reason, our software won't tell us the names of people that send us stuff sometimes. So this could be a breakthrough.
Okay.
We'll go with the serious question because we always like to end on a funny note or a more entertaining note. That and the fans request that. They don't like anything else serious stuff. The serious question is from JN, is the initials, and Allen. They want to know what position needs the most improvement and which position is pretty solid with the Revolution.
Well, it depends on the upcoming season. You know, if
right.
We're going to get Robert back, I think our strongest position obviously is going to be our quarterback. I think our defensive line took a step back this year. I think because you had two-thirds of the guys there, I don't think they were as successful as they were. And they'll be the first to tell you, you know, at DeMario Dixon, that was his biggest frustration, was that he didn't have the success that he had this year. But sometimes with
right.
your success, you become more of a focus. But I think defensive line is something that really is going to have to be a focus on for next year. I think, you know, at, getting Robert Griffin back or not Robert Williams back in the middle of the year was a huge plus. But, you know, there was kind of a carousel besides DeMario. There was kind of a carousel there on the defensive line. So getting the pressure was missing like it was in the previous years. So I think that's one of the big focuses that I really can see. And also, I think on the linebacker side, you know, at, losing Taylor earlier in the season was a huge huge loss. And then, you know, Trey Ivory definitely came in and filled a spot.
Yes.
But I just don't think there was enough enough pressure coming from the Jack either. So I think those are the two that we really need to have some focus on.
I think I definitely agree with that. That's kind of what I had come up with off the top of my head as I mentioned the question to you. And, of course, any off chance that Robert Kent or Kawan Dewberry does not return next year, maybe that Robert Griffin guy is available, because I don't think his current gig is going to pan out for him.
Well, and then, you know, at Dewberry could be quarterback on a lot of other teams. You know, to have – somebody as a backup that could come in and fill in and be able to be successful, you know, is a good plus to have. You know, obviously with Robert Kent, you definitely would love to see him back. I think he was really itching to have that that championship. And you know what, with Robert, he's coming towards the end of his career. You know, he was 36 years old this year, and
right.
You know what, I think him itching to get that championship, I don't think there's a better place that he might have that opportunity than there is here in Allen.
I definitely agree, and you know, I don't want to alarm the fans or nothing like that, but you know, part of the way the business of sports goes is there's a shelf life for every position, whether it's even a CEO or a president or an owner, all the way to a player and even a popcorn vendor. And you know, there's a handful of the guys that I know came back this year to play just so they could win the championship. So, I mean, we'll have to see if some of them hang it up or some of them move into other positions or stuff like that. I mean, you know, you really never know.
Yeah, and then that absolutely. And you know what, there were some great guys that joined this team this year that were their first experience in the league. And, you know, who knows if they're going to be available for next year. You know what, you got somebody
right.
like Jericho Nelson that, you know, he came from the New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
You know, who says he doesn't get picked up by the free agent for spring training? And then, you know, at not spring training, but preseason, you know, there's always that chance, you know, with the talent that these guys have, that, you know, the sky's the limit for them. You got Tavarius Williams that can easily play in the AFL, you know, or, you know, at be able to get picked up on one of these NFL teams. I think with his hands and, you know, same with Joe Adams, you know, they have opportunities. So who knows who's going to be available for this year. It'd be great to see them back. But, you know, we got a good nucleus back from last year's team for this year. And, you know, hopefully we can do that for next year, because, you know, you start off the conversation that arguably they're, you know, the best team in our league. And I say they are. Even the way the season ended, but talent-wise, we have the best team in the CIF, without a doubt. It's just a matter of putting it all together at the same time.
Yep, absolutely. And, yeah, I agree. That I could make an argument for practically every player on this team, especially, I mean, because I got a chance to have most of them on this show. Got a chance to get to know them even off the field a little bit. And every one of these guys are quality. Every one of them has got just talent just exploding out of themselves. And I could make the argument that any one of them could be in a higher league soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, and you're absolutely right. You get to spend a lot of time with these guys off the field, and, you know, travel with them, and they're good guys. You know, they come with their swagger and whatnot. You know, Clint Solomon, he's just a class act. He's just, you know, his biggest achievement is being a dad, and I appreciate that, because, you know, being a single parent myself, to know that that's the biggest thing for him goes beyond football, and you got to appreciate that. You know, you want to be successful in what you do, but I think his biggest win is being successful as a dad. So, you know, it's nice to see that from these guys. You know, they have a lot of heart, you know, they really you know, focus on doing good, not just on the field but off the field too.
Absolutely. And last question I have for you is a fan question for the Eagle Eye Bill Cerna. And like I said, I definitely appreciate you spending some time with us and bearing with us through the technical difficulty. But it's good to finally get you on, and I promise it will not be that much longer before you're back on.
Jeremy, I've loved it. It's been a lot of fun. I know I can tend to be quirky and go off on tangents, but I love talking football, and I even love talking about myself. So I've had a lot of fun, and I hope the listeners have enjoyed it. And we can definitely do some more roundtables, and let's talk more football.
Definitely so. I know Sonny's reached out to me that for his Sunday NFL show, because he knows that here at Impact Media we cover not only the NFL but we cover the Jaguars and Falcons. So I know he just did those previews, but you never know. I always tell people to tune in between my stuff and his stuff, because we cross over all the time. But the last fan question comes from Sonny.
Uh-oh.
And he wants me to ask you about Hunky Cooper.
Hunky Cooper, Hernandez Hunky Cooper. Hunky Cooper was one of the big names in arena football league. He was just a little spark plug. He was only 5'8", but I tell you what, back in the older days of arena football, they'd have what's called Iron Man, and Iron Man had to play both sides of the ball. They had to play offense and they had to play defense. He was the mainstay of that position. Matter of fact, I think he won that award like 3 or 4 times for Iron Man of the Year. But he was a jack of all trades, and I know now he's a high school football coach up in Nevada. But he was a fan favorite in Arizona with the Rattlers for so many years. He was very successful on the offense and defensive side. That boy could return kicks with the best of them in arena football. He was a lot of fun to watch, and he was, like I said, he was the fan favorite there in Arizona. But he was a joy to watch both on the offensive side and defensive side. But he definitely left a legacy with arena football. And matter of fact, I think he was nominated one of the top 5 guys in arena football history to play the sport. So a lot of fun. One memory I have of him that was awesome was we were playing the Arizona Rattlers were playing in LA against the LA Avengers, and the Avengers took the lead, and they scored a touchdown with 3 seconds left, and took the lead, went up by 5, and all they had to do was kick it off and make the tackle, and they won. Well, Hunky Cooper got the kickoff off the net, and was able to return it, and it was probably about 11 seconds left, and was able to return it back. Well, he got to around the 5-yard line before he scored, and there's still like 3 or 4 seconds left. So he started weaving back and forth before he got to the side, before he got to the end zone, before he scored, to make sure he ran out that clock. So it was an unbelievable finish, and to be able to experience that on the road was a lot of fun. But Hunky Cooper was really fun to watch. He played through a lot of injuries, and he was very undersized. And if you stood next to him, you wouldn't think he was a football player. But he was definitely a lot of fun to watch.
Wow, that's definitely cool, and I know we could talk about indoor for a long time the vast wealth of knowledge that you have, because Sonny said as much as he knows, you know about 10 times that, so we could definitely get into some other good stories, but we're running short on time, so Bill, it's been great having you on, and like I said, I will make sure that you're not a stranger, and maybe we'll get you on some of these other shows we do as the NFL season kicks off here soon.
Yeah, that sounds good, and maybe we can have a little talk about my fantasy football team. You guys can help me, because if there's one fantasy sport that I stink at, it's NFL. So I could definitely use your guys' insight. Do you want to talk fantasy baseball? I got that covered. But when it comes to fantasy football, I can definitely use your guys' insight on that.
Hey, I can't say that I'm an expert, but usually my average finish among the handful of leagues I'm in every year is around second or third. So I actually won my own league last year. I need to make myself a trophy, though.
You know what's funny about it is ArenaFan.com used to have a fantasy football league for arena football, for the AFL. Back when there was about 16 teams, they had it, and I used to participate in that. I couldn't even win that. So I think it's just me and fantasy football just don't can't cut it.
Well, maybe we can compare notes sometime, and maybe I can try to help you
there
out.
There you
with
go.
That.
You got it.
But like I said, it's been great having you on, and we'll definitely see you on later down the road, and I'm going to let you back to your night because I don't want your daughter mad at me. I'm sure there is a great Disney movie coming on in the next 4 minutes or so. So
we're headed to softball right now. I got two games. It's playoffs tonight, so.
Oh, well, then good luck in that. Definitely don't re-injure the shoulder because we don't need you on the shelf. We need you on shows more.
That's why I play softball, not baseball.
Exactly. Well, go win the All-Star Award for the playoffs there, and we'll see you all later down the road, Bill.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for everyone for listening. Take care.
And that was the Eagle Eye, Bill Cerna. Just a super guy. Like I said, I've talked to him off the air a handful of times, and I've also been on roundtable discussions on some of Sonny Clark's shows, just talking random stuff, and Texas Revolution, just absolute killer guy. And we'll definitely have him back on because you guys enjoyed it. We got a lot of fan input. We definitely appreciate all that. He is on Facebook. He's pretty easy to find, Bill Cerna, Serna. I need to check and see if he's on Twitter. He may be. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Definitely appreciate our guest, the Eagle Eye, Bill Cerna, for joining us. And, we'll see you guys on later down the road. It's been Revolution Zone, thanks to Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you guys next week. Hands up. Go Revolution. And on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the NSA. And God we trust or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?